Feet again. Thank you, Robin. All right, go back to 2 Chronicles 15 with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. It says in verse 1, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit. You know, there are some of these false priests today say the Holy Spirit wasn't given until Pentecost. Well, that's just not so, is it? David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit came upon this Azariah, son of Oded. This man is an unknown prophet. This is the only message he preached. Kind of like Jehaziel, I believe it was, who preached Jehoshaphat that day. Three chapters over. What a message that young man preached. And it was the only message he ever preached. He didn't need to preach again after that. You remember the message. He said, the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. And this young man's message is equally wonderful. But God was with him. Spirit of God. I hope he's with me tonight and hope he's with you to hear this message. Verse 2, and he went out to meet Asa the king and said unto me, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. You know, the Lord's prophets and preachers are not fearful of men. Doesn't matter who they are. The Lord told his apostles, I'm going to send you out before kings. Don't be afraid. Moses, remember Moses went into Pharaoh and he said, he may have pointed his finger at Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And all God's prophets, bold men, to tell the truth. Paul stood before Agrippa and others, Festus, and told them the truth. Hear ye me. You know, kings need to hear preachers as well as paupers. As a matter of fact, the preacher's more important than the king. That's a fact. In Ecclesiastes 1, you'll hear Solomon write, he said, the preacher, capital P, was also king, small k, in Israel. And all that chapter, that book was written by a preacher named Solomon, who just happened to be king. All people need to hear the word of God, desperately hear it. Our king sure needs to hear it, doesn't he? I wish he would. Wish God would give him ears to hear. They said, hear me, Judah and Benjamin. These were the remnant of Israel. Now, all of God's people need to hear this. Now, here it is. Here's his message, principal part of it. The Lord is with you. What a promise. While ye be with him. That's a promise. Here's another one. If you seek him, he will be found of you. What a promise. What a blessing. And all that means. But here's a warning. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. That's a dire warning, isn't it? If you forsake him. Read on. He says now, a long season. I think he's rehearsing the history of Israel like Moses did and like all the prophets did. They all rehearsed what Israel did. Warning the people. Paul did, didn't he? In 1 Corinthians 10, he said, these people were an example to us. He said, long season Israel was without the true God. They were in idolatry, without a teaching priest, without God's word. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Doesn't matter how sinful they became, remember? And the boy, they got in a mess, didn't they? Dancing around a calf. The Lord turned them. The Lord was so good. And they sought him, and he was found of them. But while they were without God, verse 4, while they were in idolatry, says verse 5, there was no peace to him that went out nor him that came in. The great vexations upon all the inhabitants of the country. Nation destroyed nation, city of city. It was God that did this. God's the one that did this. He did vex them with all adversity. Why? Idolater. That's why. And that's our nation. This is why I'm preaching this tonight. It's so relevant. We're so needed by us, the remnant, according to election. And this is the state of our nation. Without God, they won't hear a true teaching preacher sent by God, without the Word of God. And they're vexed, aren't they? And they're destroying each other. And God did this. But he says in verse 7, to Judah, be ye strong, therefore. Let not your hands be weak. Your work shall be rewarded. It says to Israel, be strong at this work. What is this work? What is this work? Well, it's the work of the Lord. Didn't Paul say that to us in his epistles? Be strong in the work of the Lord. Labor. It's the work of the Lord. It's the work of the gospel. Our vocation is the same as our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I must be about my Father's business. And we're sons of God. What's our business? Why are we here on earth? To glorify our Father. To tell people of His kingdom. To support the gospel. And to glorify our Lord. That's our vocation. Same as Christ. His glory, His worship, His kingdom, His church, His people. That's the work of God's people. We're not here for ourselves. We're in the work of the ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. He said, be strong in this work of the Lord. Let not your hands be weak. Your work shall be rewarded. Be rewarded. What's our reward? Christ. We get to be with Him. What else do we need? And we want others to be with Him too, don't we? That's why we witness of Him. Well, verse 8, it says, Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, meaning the son of Oded, Azariah. He took courage. He heard this, and like James said, he wasn't a hearer only, he was a doer. And here's what he did. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he'd taken from Mount Ephraim. I thought about this. What if the President of the United States, this really happened, the king over all the land, sent out a proclamation that all idols, statues, pictures, anything, any incense, religious symbol of any sort to be thrown out and burnt. Thus saith the king, under threat of law. What if our president did that? Wish he would. Well, this man did that. He did that. Look at this, verse 8. He renewed the altar of the Lord. And people, this is not the first man king to do this. Josiah did, Hezekiah, he really went to town on all this idolatry. But every religious symbol is an idol. Our Lord plainly said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything in heaven, in earth. He said, even in the sea, don't put a fish on your car. That's what He said. All religious symbols and props and holy things, so to speak, pictures and crosses and statues and idols, movies made about our Lord, it's idolatry. They've got one coming up now about our Lord's boyhood and childhood. Don't you dare see it. Don't you dare see it. It's idolatry. How could anybody play the part of the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone a 12-year-old boy? It's an abomination to God. I went on sermon audio and started reading all these Christian leaders, and they were all lauding that. They were all saying this is one of the greatest movies ever. All your people, your churches will be blessed by it. You need to have all your church to hear that. No, it's an abomination to God. That's what Asa did. He said, this is all an abomination. No man can play the... It's acting. That's the word hypocrisy means act, part. And a little boy probably doesn't even know the Lord, playing the part of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an abomination. Don't be a part of it. It'll give you an opportunity to tell people, have you seen it? No, I haven't. I'm not going to. Well, why? And then tell them. That's an open door to tell them the truth. Is that too hard? This went on with true preachers and true kings. Say, we're going to get rid of this stuff. I'm going to show you here in a minute what else he did. He took his grandmother's idol and ground it to powder. His grandmother. Read on. We'll go back to 1 Kings 15. Here's where it is. 1 Kings 15. I'll show you that. Now, people, it ought to go without saying that all sin's an abomination to God. I went back to Leviticus 18 where he talked about so many abominations. Idols, all this, and various sins of perversion and so forth. Idols, but God mentions two or three things by name and calls them abomination. Idols are one of it, and homosexuality is another. 1 Kings 15. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah. She was the daughter of Absalom. You know, Absalom was a bad man. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land. He issued a proclamation that they were to leave. Is that too hard? Why would we apologize for God's work? I know the Lord saves some, and I hope He does save more. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols of his fathers that his fathers had made. Also, Maacah, his mother, was queen. He removed her from being queen. Not supposed to be a queen. There's no queen in Israel, is there? You know, that's what Catholicism calls Mary. They call her the co-redemptress. They call her a co-redeemer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Antichrist. She's not the queen of heaven. She's a sinner saved by grace like the rest of them. And every true preacher will tell people that. She's no queen. Read on. She made an idol in a grove. Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook of Kidron. Now, and we'll, some of these days we'll look at those high places. But I thought about this. Everybody's grandmother, that was his grandmother. Everybody's grandmother's a pretty sweet old lady. Aren't they? Sweet. If you'd ask most people, all grandmothers go to heaven. Dear, sweet old women. How could they be? Until you start telling them the truth. And you start telling the truth about a sovereign God who chooses whom He will and passes by whom He will. About a God who nobody deserves to be saved. Everybody deserves to go to hell. And a God that doesn't love everybody. But in infinite mercy and great love and grace, loves some people, but the ones He chose. And only Jesus Christ's blood and righteousness count for anything. Not anything you've ever done your whole life will count for anything for God. God won't accept it. Doesn't merit you any favor with God whatsoever. Only the blood of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. Nothing you've ever done. No witnessing, no good deeds, no morality, nothing you ever gave up will ever account for anything before God. Tell your old grandmother that. And let's see how she reacts. And that idol she's got on her wall, just try it. Take it down and stomp on it. That cross, stomp on it. And we'll see how sweet she is. Now that's a fact. Is that too hard? That's what this man did. That's how you know. It's got to be done. It's got to be done, doesn't it? It needs to be done. The Thessalonians Paul said, I thank God that you turn to the living God from your idols. That's how you know you're elect. Somebody stomps on your God, the sooner the better. Well, go back to our text. This really happened. It really happened. I'm not picking on any one group of sinners more than another, but that's what God's Word said, doesn't it? That's what His Word said. Go back to our text. Now, it says that in verse 9, they gathered themselves in verse 9 together, all Judah and his people will gather. They don't forsake the assembly themselves together. That's what they gather. And they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord God was with them. That's true seekers. They'll come and hear a man, and God is with him. Verse 10. They gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year in the reign of Asa. I about forgot this. In verse 8, it says they renewed the altar of the Lord. They renewed the altar. Apparently, they hadn't used it in a while. And you know that's the only purpose of gathering together? If you don't sacrifice a lamb on that altar when you gather together, God's not with you. God's not there. If a man stands up and doesn't preach Christ to him crucified, God's not with you. They renewed the altar. Apparently, they hadn't been sacrificing animals, lambs. It's like Josiah, you know, Hezekiah. Remember that Passover Hezekiah had? Hadn't had one since, he said. Josiah found the book and he said, we haven't been doing it like we're supposed to do it. Whenever we get together, we got to hear about the blood. And so they did. Verse 11. They offered unto the Lord the same time, that same day, of the spoil which they brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. 7,700 sacrifices. 7,700 sacrifices. One at a time. Blood everywhere. And from the sound of this, nobody got tired of it. It says they rejoiced. After 6,000 of them, somebody said, let's do it again. I counted up, didn't count them all, but quit counting. But I personally, in 30 years of preaching, have preached about 6,000 messages. And you know good and well, he's preached 15 or 20,000. Are you tired of it? And what are we preaching? The same thing. It's the blood that makes remission for your sin. Christ and Him crucified. Dad preached the message one time on recovering the gospel, like renewing the altar. We've got to recover the gospel. God's not with us if the blood is not being shed, if Christ is not being preached. Christ and Him crucified. So they sacrificed all these, and how many thousands have been preached over the years by various men? God's people never tired of it. And they made a sacrifice. They bought their sheep and oxen and sacrificed them to the Lord. Nothing was too much of a sacrifice seeking the Lord. Verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Not half-heartedly. God won't be found if we seek Him with half a heart. But all heart. All their soul. And look at this. It says they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord. And whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Small or great, man or woman. You think that's too hard? Well, we sure don't do that, do we? Aren't you glad we're not under the law? But you know what? It's exactly what God's going to do. Man or woman. Isn't it? They'll seek the Lord. God's going to put them to death. With all the heart. And they swear unto the Lord, verse 14, with a loud voice and with shouting, with a trumpet and cornet, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath. They rejoiced. They were joying in the Lord. They'd sworn with all their heart, sought Him with their whole desire. Remember that? Psalm 37, set your heart on Him, your desire. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Set your affection on Him. And they did. And they sought Him with their whole heart. And look at this, verse 50. He was found of them. And what happened? He gave them rest. He gave them rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, the Lord said, and I will give you rest. Seek, He said. He said, ask, you'll receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be opened unto you. And I'll give you rest. The Lord gave them rest. All right, now go back to verse 2. Verse 2 is the key verse. Let me spend just a few minutes here in this verse 2. All right, this is the key verse in the message Brother Azariah preached to him. It took about, I'm going to take a little longer. He took about 28 seconds. I'm going to take 28 minutes. Not from here on, but 28 total. He said in verse 2, hear this now, all of you. The Lord is with you while ye be with Him. The Lord is with you. If the Lord is with us, you know what that means? If the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, the Lord said, I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. That's what He said to all His disciples, all that made a covenant with Him by blood, all that believed Him. Trusted Him. He said, I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. That was His last word. And what that means is, if the Lord, Jehovah Sid Kenu, is with us, Jehovah Shalom is with us, that means we have peace. Peace with God. God is not angry with us. We have peace with God. And if the Lord is with us, we'll have peace of heart, mind, soul. We'll have rest. That's what He said in verse 15. When they sought Him, He was found of them, and He gave them rest. He was found, and He was with them, and He gave them rest. And if God is with us, He'll give us rest from number one, trying to keep the law that we're so prone to do. Striving to keep the law. Laboring. That's what our Lord meant about laboring. All you that labor, Moses gave you the law, yes, but grace and truth came by Christ. Come unto me, I'll give you rest from trying to keep the law. How? I kept it. You don't need to keep it. I kept it. Kept it for you. Fulfilled it for you. Rest from trying to keep the law. He will defeat our enemies for us. In the previous chapter, read it to yourself. I've been reading through 2 Kings. Chronicles, it's wonderful. But in the previous chapter, Judah came out against 1 million Ethiopians. 1 million. And they had 500,000. And Asa called on the Lord on behalf of all of them. And the Lord wiped the Ethiopians out. They wiped. That was the spoils they brought. Spoils it. Wiped them out. 2-1. And the Lord defeated them. How? Why? They sought Him. They called on Him. And He was with them. And He defeated their enemies. Without Him, we can do nothing. If He's not with us, we cannot defeat one foe. We cannot resist one temptation. We're no match for one devil, one demon. One sinful desire. We're no match. But if the Lord's with us. You see how important this is? If the Lord's with you, there's resistance, there's help for this fight, there's defeat of the enemies. If the Lord's with us, that's His presence. That means His presence. If His presence is with you, that means His angel. That means His Spirit, Spirit of God. Amen. Hath not the Spirit of God, he's not here. That means He'll lead you and guide you. You don't want to be on your own. You don't want to be walking your own way. You don't want to go a way that seems right to you. You want the Holy Spirit to lead you. If He's with you, you won't go wrong. You see how important this is? The Lord's with you. That's the Spirit of God. You'll know His will. Our Lord said that. Any man do the truth, he'll know. He'll know. If the Lord's with us, His presence is with us, He'll comfort us. He'll comfort you, His people. Now, if God is with us, that doesn't mean there won't be trouble. In fact, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. David said in Psalm 73, they're not in trouble like us. The wicked are not in trouble like us. All of God's people got nothing but trouble. Read Psalm 107 for you sometime. You know you have. It says every time they called on the Lord, it said He delivered them out of all their troubles. They were constantly in trouble, within and without. God with us doesn't mean there won't be any trouble. It's the opposite. Our Lord said, you must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. Israel of old went through the wilderness of sin, and they went through trouble after trouble after trouble. Enemies all around them. But God was with them. See, this is the love of the Lord. This is the goodness of the Lord to put us through trouble in this world, because He says, you don't have any continuing city here. To show us that this is not your, you're not of this world. If you were, they'd love their own, but you're not. And you're not staying here, you're leaving here. I'm sending you trouble after trouble. And to show that He's with us. Israel, as I said, went through trouble after trouble, but God brought them through, God brought them through all. Those three Hebrew men, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were put in trouble, weren't they? They were put in a fiery furnace. But somebody was with them. They said they were walking around loose. like it wasn't hurting them at all. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, wasn't he? He's the best man on earth. God's man sought the Lord, didn't he? Well, he put him through trouble. Threw him in the lion's den. And King Darius was it, said, old Daniel, is your God able to save? He said, King, he sent his angel. He's in here with me. He stopped their mouths of the lion. If God's with you, you see how important this is? If He's with us, He'll comfort us. He'll console us. We need comfort through all these troubles and tribulation and trial. We need consolation. We need to see that these things are good. These things are good for us. David said, it was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It wouldn't have otherwise. Wouldn't even give God a thought if we didn't have trouble. That's just a sad fact, isn't it? We'd want to stay here. This is the goodness of the Lord. And to encourage us, if God's with us, He'll encourage us, give us courage. That's what Azariah said to Asa and all Judah. He said, take courage, be strong. You know what Azariah's name means? Jehovah strengthened us. Jehovah will strengthen. And that's what the preacher's supposed to do. Be strong. Fear not their fear. Fear the Lord. You have nothing to fear. Trouble's coming, yes, but it's going to be good for God's people. The Lord is with you while you be with Him. Ooh, that tempers it, doesn't it? While you be with Him. While you be with Him. And it goes with seeking Him. He said, if you seek Him, He will be found of you. He will be with you if you're with Him. Remember the message, draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto you. David said that in Psalm 73. One of the last verses, he said this. Let me read it to you. I can find it. It's before Isaiah. Psalm 73. I got to read this to you. This is good. He said, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. God's the strength of my heart, my portion forever. They that are far from thee shall perish. Those that aren't with him. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw nearer to God. And had to go through trials to drive him to the Lord. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. And you've got to seek him with all your heart. Remember verse 12? He said they sought him with all their heart, with all their soul. You'd be amazed at how many scriptures talk about seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord. Look it up in your concordance sometime. It's vital. Our Lord says seek and you'll find. Who? Him. And you find him, you have it all. You don't need anyone else. That's how important this is. If you be with him, he'll be with you. Can two walk together, walk with him, talk with him, worship him, seek his face. You be with him. Seek him with all your heart, verse 15, with all your desire. That's seeking. You ever sought something and wouldn't quit until you found it? That's seeking. The reason somebody hadn't found the Lord, they're not really seeking him. The Lord promised, didn't he? He'll be with you while you're with him and seeking him. Oh, my. Paul said this one time in Antioch. He said, let me read this to you. I've got to turn or misquote it. He said, God has made of all men on the face of the earth of one blood that they should seek the Lord. All men should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him. Everybody ought to seek the Lord. If anybody seeks the Lord, they'll find him. If a jungle native seeks the Lord, he'll find him. Now, who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knows the Lord doesn't know Jesus Christ. They will hear. God will send them a preacher. You remember the story of that fellow in Mexico? That Walter went up in the jungle traveling. And fella said he had a dream. He said, I dreamed some gringo, some white man to come up here and tell me about God. It actually happened. Walter went up in this remote jungle and preached to that fella. Who did he preach? Jesus Christ. And that man was saved in his house. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he's not far from every one of us. Meaning, he's a God in whose hands our breath is and all our ways. Everybody's in his hands, not just God's people. Everything's in his hands. Well, I don't understand, preacher. Why do we have to seek him then? Seek his presence. Seek his face. Seek his favor. Read Exodus 33 if you sometime. I was going to read that to you, and I'm running out of time. And Exodus 33 is one of the best chapters in all the book about being the Lord being with you. Moses said, how are we going to know we've found favor except you be with us? And God said, yes, this is how you'll know that you're separate from all the people on the earth. I'm with you. How was God with these people? He sent the gospel to them. He sent the sacrifice to them. God with you. All right, let me couple of minutes. How do we seek the Lord and find him? I've already said with the whole heart. With the whole heart. I was going to have you turn to Daniel, but let me read it for you, okay? It says, Daniel, remember this? It said, I, Daniel, set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. You remember those messages? Daniel, he said, with all my heart, I sought the Lord. He said, I was in mourning for 3 weeks. Mourning over the state of his country. Mourning over the state of his family, his people. And he said, I sought the Lord with all my heart. And you know what? The angel of the Lord came to him and said, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, from the moment you set your heart to seek me, I heard you. And he saw the Lord high and lifted up. That's with the whole heart. That's how we seek Him. Not half a heart. Not half a heart. You know, marriage, salvation, union with Christ is a marriage. And what if you're betrothed just gave you half a heart? Huh? Would you marry that person? The Lord won't either. The Lord won't either. Half a heart. Wholehearted. We seek the Lord in prayer. And that means with all the heart, not half a heart. That's why the Lord said, pray without ceasing. That means don't quit. That's true prayer. Keep calling. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Asking. We seek the Lord in His Word. God speaks through His Word. He doesn't speak in dreams and visions. He doesn't speak out loud. He speaks through His Word. And He does it principally through this right here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That believe. Preaching. The world calls it foolishness. And God's not with them. But God is with those people that seek His faith. He said, where two or three are gathered to hear My name, to worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ and Him crucified, and put no confidence in the flesh, but just preach the gospel. He's there. He's with them. You'll be found of Him. You come hungry, and you'll find bread. You come thirsty, and you'll find the water of life, Christ. Oh, yeah, that's seeking Him with all the heart in the preaching of the Word, in the reading of the Word. You have any love letters from your husband or wife or mother or father or brothers and sisters or daughters, sons and daughters? Do you have any old letters from them? Did you throw them away? No, you wouldn't dare do that. You ever get them out and look at them? I kept every letter that meant something to me. Got nearly every letter you all wrote to me. These are epistles to the beloved from Christ. We ought to look at them every day. This is our beloved. He's away from us. I mean, He's with us. I don't know. It's a mystery. He's in heaven, but He's with us in the Holy Spirit. Isn't he? And this is how we seek Him. This is how we commune with Him. This is how He speaks to us. People, He's not going to speak to you otherwise. He's not going to speak peace to your heart otherwise. Not going to do it. Not going to be an experience. Mm-mm. It's going to be right here. Right here. And right here. To worship the house of God. You know, like we said, not half a heart. Marriage. You know, marriage means God is with you if you're with Him. Marriage, you know what marriage means? It means you want to be with that person. Isn't it? Stephen, when you drove to Nashville, it wasn't too far to drive, was it? Oh, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. 7 years! And he got Leah. He had served 7 more. And the Scripture says it seemed like a few days. And he traveled a long way to get her. Would you do it again? Why? You want to be with her, didn't you? You loved her. And you want to be with her. You still want to be with her? Why, there you sit. That's marriage. And that's the union with Christ. If it's not there, it's not there. The marriage. You want to be with Him. You want to be with Him. Well, where is He? He's with His people. Always. You want to be with Him? He'll be with you if you're with Him. Where is He? He's with His people. Always. Every time. He promised. 2 or 3. Just 2 or 3. I'll be there. You love Him? Yeah. I'll go where He is. Be with Him. But if you forsake Him, forsake you. Amen. And I can't even describe what it means to be forsaken of God. Except, look at Christ on the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? That's hell. And you know what? If we go whoring, so to speak, if we go out in the world and people, God is not, if you're with the people of the world, you're not with them. He said, come out from among them. Be you separate. I'll be with you. He's with His people in fellowship and worship. But, you know, there are times when we forsake Him. We do. Thankfully, it's just temporary. Backsliding, call it what you will, but we... like if Ephesus loses their first love and And you know what? He'll make you feel like He's forsaken you. And you need to be. You need to feel that way. He'll make you feel like David said, I'm cast out. His mercy is a clean gone. You ought to feel like that, David. Why did you forsake your Lord? Why did you go after that? And we all do that, don't we? And we need to feel that. We need to feel His frown. He'll turn His back on you. He'll frown on you. Yes, He will. But here's the good news. He'll be with you if you're with Him. Always. And I can't, you know, if somebody leaves, this is why, you know, you still have hope as long as the gospel is preached. You still have hope. And so we still preach and we still tell them, come back, come back. But our Lord said, if you forsake me. So it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. And that usually starts by forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and so on and so forth. Prayer, reading, hearing, and so forth. God will be with you. The Lord is with you while you be with Him. And He'll be found of you. If you seek Him, but if you forsake Him, may the Lord not let that happen. Stand with me. Our Lord, how we thank You for Your Word. It is everything to us. It is Your voice. It is Your power. It is our strength. It is our comfort, our hope, because it's Your power, because this is the way You speak to us. This is the way You deal with us. This is the way You reprove, rebuke, correct, instruct, chasten. This is how You comfort, console, encourage. This is how You give life. This is how You strengthen. This is how You build us up. This is how You lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us. Oh, Lord, Your Word. How wonderful is it? And how sinful we are that we don't esteem it as we should, that we don't use it and seek You in Your Word as we should. Oh, Lord, cause us to seek You with all our hearts, with all our soul. Cause us to call on You, pray without ceasing, commune with Thee, walk and talk with our dear Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to be with You. We want You to be with us. Be with us, O Lord, we pray. Leave us not. Leave us not to ourselves. Leave us not. Let us not forsake Thee. If we do, Lord, call us back. Bring us back. Turn us and we'll be turned. It's in Christ's name we pray and ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.